Hello, everybody. I'm Paul Norris. So I'm Organic Director for Journey Further. We're a performance brand agency, campaigns, global agency, performance agency the last 2 years running. And I'm going to talk to you today about getting more for less, so driving organic growth when demand is down. I think today there's been a very heavy skew towards paid media for obvious reasons. We're looking for short-term growth right now, but oftentimes organic gets quite neglected, and hopefully today I'm going to show you what's possible in the medium to long term if you're able to focus your efforts on organic and do it in a similar way, look at it in similar metrics like you would a paid media campaign. So I've worked in organic media and search for about 15 years now, and I head up our SEO, digital PR and our performance content offering. Over the years, I've been lucky enough to work with some big brands and retailers in the e-com space, including like Dior, Dr. Martens, Holland & Barrett, M&S, Waterstones, Oliver Bonus, to name a few. But when I distill it down, in my role as Organic Director, and I'm also on our solutions team, I generally deal with what I call two Ps, pitches and client problems. And oftentimes you'll often encounter pretty much the same common threads. And this is becoming increasingly more so over the past couple of years. How can we grow when demand is down? So we've got all of the context from Rich's talk earlier about rising costs of CPCs, more customers spending on considered purchase, higher ticket value, but spending less frequently and less sporadically. So coupled with this, there's also the question around how can we reduce our reliance on paid search as well. So hopefully today with this talk, we'll touch on that and look for some opportunities and solutions for your brand and your business. Okay, so there are four clear steps to doing this, to looking for demand where it is dropping and looking for those green shoots, looking for those sort of niches and those subcategories within the bigger categories where we're seeing decreasing demand. So first and foremost, it's mapping and measuring the search opportunity. I think Google, in many ways, often by design, makes it quite difficult to really align your paid search activity with your organic search activity, because it pays them literally to put more money, keep shoving more money into increasingly more competitive and more expensive keywords. So first of all, understanding where the opportunity lies, where those gaps in your paid search performance lie, where we can fill them with organic search. Secondly, we look to create commercial clusters and create what we call a striking distance scenario. So seeing what's possible, not just looking at the whole market and seeing how many people are searching for keywords and for products and for categories like yours, but seeing what's actually within reach. Oftentimes, a lot of agencies may pitch all of this volume, but how much of it is actually attainable? To coin a cheesy consulting phrase, a lot of brands, a lot of retailers try and boil the ocean when it comes to organic. They try and do everything all at once, and it just doesn't work like that. It's expensive in terms of time and resource, and it means a lot of wasted resource on your part and your developer and your content writer's part as well. Thirdly, we build a business case for organic. So whilst organic traffic can be cost effective, and if you can attain strong positions, it is always on and it becomes quite lucrative. But before we get to that point, how can we get buy-in from your board, from the stakeholders, from the people who hold the purse strings? Oftentimes, a lot of the sort of SEO teams and digital PR teams are often quite siloed to the broader marketing function. How can we build them in? We talk to them in their language. So we'll talk you through the process of how we build a business case for organic for our clients and for our brands. And then finally, how do we become and stay relevant? Digital PR, links, strong top publisher coverage is the currency of organic success. That's our media spend if we were to put it in paid search numbers. How can we become relevant and then stay relevant? So we'll talk through ways we can do this. So zooming out, I like to sort of simplify that holistic search view in this way. So on the right, if we can imagine here, this is our organic search then. So these are terms where we're ranking, but we're not bidding on from a paid search opportunity. On the left, with more sort of bottom of the funnel, you're paying to play there, but you're not ranking organically. So these are your real strong commercially prioritized terms. in the middle is that sort of sweet spot. That's that organic and paid commercial cluster. So they're terms where you are ranking and it makes sense to pay for them. They drive return and we can quantify that because we've got the paid search data. And then out here, we've got that unknown and there are constantly new terms being searched for, different sort of growing long tail and that ever-expanding messy middle. Got a few cool tools that allow us to sort of really explore this area, pick up those new terms and be able to really activate in areas that are a lot less competitive but can be equally lucrative as well. So first, how do we map and measure the opportunity? It still blows my mind how many brands and retailers don't have a combined search query report where you can see where you rank from an organic point of view, but also see the value from a paid search point of view as well. A lot of internet providers a long time ago now, we can't at an organic level see exactly which terms convert and at what value, at what level. By combining our search query reports, we can start to pull that data through, which is an absolute goldmine when it comes to looking at your sort of holistic combined search performance. Secondly, identify your most valuable target keywords. This is where we start to create what that commercial keyword cluster looks like. And so instead of like trying to rank for everything and track everything, if we can take a look at what we call a commercial keyword cluster, then we can really just focus in on the keywords that matter and start to track their performance and see how they're what they're driving from an organic and a paid search point of view. And then understanding what you can and can't do in organic, that you can't rank for everything in organic in the same way for the keywords that you pay for from a paid search point of view. So best example is like competitor bidding. You can't rank very well for your competitor keywords unless they're like versus type keywords as well. So understanding what you can and can't do is very important before setting out and executing on that strategy. So how do we create these commercial keyword clusters? Once we've built them out, then we typically exclude them from your sort of PMAX campaigns because of the restraints when it comes to tracking and what metrics you can see there. We'd build out a separate sort of standard search report to ensure we got full visibility in this standard setup. And then what we can do is we can also weight organic rankings where necessary as well. Not all keywords are the same. So once we've got that commercial value, we can start to exclude those which are more top of the funnel, which aren't those like real commercially prioritized terms. And then exploring the unknown. Oftentimes when we talk about organic media, we talk about organic search just because Google has such a large share of the market. But more and more, especially the younger generations and Gen Z, we're seeing they're going to TikTok first before they go to Google. So ensuring that we're monitoring demands, platforms like TikTok are not only a place of search, but they generate demand as well. We often see things previously when I've worked on the Holland and Barrett accounts. I think the chlorophyll phase absolutely blew up on TikTok and saw a huge spike in demand on site. And we were unable to really, before we saw it trending on TikTok, unable to see what really caused that. So not only monitoring your sort of go-to platforms, but also these emerging search platforms is really key. And then identifying low and no volume searches as well. The messy middle is constantly growing. So yeah, having a sort of your finger on the pulse, using tools such as TikTok Trend Monitor, which we built, and a couple of other tools, which I'll move on to a little later, really helps you sort of identify trends early, quickly, and then you can jump on them ahead of your competitors. And then also using DSAs from a paid search point of view, they're an absolute goldmine from a keyword research point of view as well. They're like little keyword scouts that constantly dynamically change and can find, and you get that conversion data and those conversion metrics that you don't get from an organic search point of view. So once we've got our keywords, we've built out that combined search query report, what we then do is look at what's possible. So we call this building out a striking distance scenario. So if you see this sort of like purple bar chart, that's existing traffic based on our current non-brand rankings on a monthly basis. This sort of cyan green color is what we could drive if we were able to increase average rank by six positions. So that allows us to really sort of show what's possible from an average rank point of view. So we're not just saying, look, there's loads of volume over here, let's go after it. We can build in a realistic ranking improvement that we'd expect to see over a 3 to 6 month period with an organic search program. And then we can overlay that commercial data to see what this could drive from an ROI and revenue perspective. So when we're thinking about when demand is decreasing, we can find where demand is growing, these green pockets, and we can build out this sort of short to medium term sort of mini forecast. So then once we've got what's possible, how do we build a business case for it? So here at Journey Further, we use a PIE prioritization framework, which means where we rank everything on a scale of 1 to 10 based on potential impact and ease. So we take all of your audits, your opportunity analysis, we'd feed it through to this prioritization framework, and then we can overlay your commercial data as well to ultimately get a revenue per activity stream or sort of a group. We typically chunk activity streams depending on the way that the client's development framework works or their pipeline. It's easier to get a few things in rather than single tasks. So yeah, this is an example for one of our clients. This is all dummy data. So we're not sharing anything that's privy. But ultimately, we take a sort of huge, quite boring, but comprehensive tech audit, if it is tech, and then work that through on a PIE, through our PIE framework, and then ultimately label it with what that'll do from a revenue, traffic, and conversion uplift point of view. So that's looking at more of the tech and content side of things. But from a digital PR point of view, how do we stop ourselves from not just being a flash in the pan or a one-hit wonder? How do we continue to stay relevant? I think we work with a lot of brands and we pitch to a lot of brands that sort of expect to rank first, second or third without continuing to stay relevant with high authority, highly relevant backlinks. And the key is you've got to treat it as if they were music charts. You can't just stay number one, number two, number three. You need to be constantly improving, constantly iterating. Why? Because we know that if you can drive relevant links into relevant areas on the site, it'll improve relevant rankings. So this is just a overview of one of our clients where we've started a digital PR campaign. We're making those on-site changes that we've proved through our building our business case. And then once that campaign starts flying, we start to see that sort of performance trend up as a result. Moving on to a couple of our tools, we know that people are very predictable. So what we typically do, especially for a brand such as Laradoo, they've got tons of different categories, tons of different SKUs and subcategories. So there's an awful lot of sort of seasonality peaking and troughing throughout the year. So we build out a category demand tracker, which allows us to see live month to month when demand is peaking and troughing. So if an area or a product set or a category is declining month to month, what this allows us to do is see where those green shoots are, see what categories are growing, where we're driving revenue, and then we can pivot our strategy and start to build in areas where demand is growing. Don't look at average monthly search volume as gospel. It is average monthly search volume. So of course, when you look at it throughout the year, look at actual monthly volumes. So for instance, this is looking at Laradoo's category demand tracker, where we can see linen trousers, there's a 260% increase versus average monthly search volume where people are looking for linen trousers. People only look for linen trousers in May and June in the UK. So don't let that much lower average monthly search volume put you off. Build your campaigns and build your areas of focus in 3 month blocks so you can properly plan for peak. We've got a one search tool, which allows us to look and identify where people are searching for your product. So for instance, this search term houseplants, although the vast majority of the search, well, the majority of the search happens on Google, actually there are more searches looking for video content on YouTube. There's also a lot of search on Pinterest where people are in that more mood boarding phase. And then there's volume around TikTok as well. So don't just think Google first, have a look, use tools like this to see actually where people are searching. You'll often be quite surprised where people search and what sort of format they like to consume their content in. We've also got a tool called Pulse, which pulls this data from Google Trends on a real-time basis. So we're not just looking at previous years, because oftentimes we've been caught out these last 2 years. A lot of brands and retailers have been caught out these last 2 years looking at previous year's demand to plan campaigns around. Oftentimes we found that that's not the wisest thing just because of the sort of situation we're in. So this allows us to see where demand is on a sort of day-to-day basis even. And then, as I mentioned, staying relevant. Think of Google rankings as a music chart instead of a directory. Your spot must be earned. It's not given. You don't need to outspend your competitors, but you do need to be more relevant. We often say it takes authority to compete. It takes relevance to win. That's becoming more and more the case. And relevancy applies to your audience, your content, your coverage, and your timing as well. So this is an example for an insurance brand we worked with. The lighter blue is SEO clicks. The darker blue is PPC clicks. And what we did, we built a commercial cluster where we really honed in at the keywords that matter to them. Where do we need to focus our organic efforts? And what we were able to do by increasing our average rank, we didn't want to pull back our paid spend because it was working. Anything over a 90% impression share didn't provide greater returns. But what we were able to do is drive incremental value despite demand staying the same through organic. So we were able to maintain similar spends, but increase our profitability and return on ROI by 59% by just increasing our average rank through organic means. So looking at it from a sort of holistic search point of view really, really does pay dividends, but it isn't overnight. It takes 3 to 6 months to really start to drive these sorts of levels of growth. So yeah, key takeaways, map and measure the search opportunity, see what's possible, and build those commercial clusters and those striking distance scenarios to see where that most immediate growth lies. Then your job isn't done. You need to get buy-in. So build that business case for SEO. Assign costs and values to stream of activities because you can prove it can grow over time. And finally, yeah, do digital PR properly. That's your currency. So that's your media spend. Get more for less by being more relevant.